Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Jude in verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. He's given you the Holy Spirit as your helper. You got the greatest help anyone can have in life. You've got the helper himself. You've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He is there. He could pick you up and pull you up out of anything. I said he can help you up out of anything. He can help you through anything. He can turn things around in a wonderful way really quick. Can he? If we'll just believe him. Just believe in him. Trust in him. Believe with him. Hook up with him. By, number one, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. As we're praying in the Holy Spirit, or praying with the Holy Spirit, flowing with the Holy Spirit in life, he is going to build us up. He is going to strengthen us. He is not going to interrogate us and tear us down. He's not going to accuse and judge and condemn. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me would have life. And now, see, the Holy Spirit has come and taken Jesus' place as Jesus has completed his ministry, ascended to the right hand of the Father. Now the Holy Spirit is with us, and he's doing the same kind of things Jesus did while he was here on the earth. And so just like Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, Holy Spirit didn't come to condemn the world. But there is a spirit here in the world that is condemning the world, judging the world, accusing the world, and that is the devil. Demonic spirits, they're here to judge and to condemn and to tear us down. And so we've got to train ourselves to be able to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit who is here to lead us and guide us in life, and recognize the voice of a stranger. Recognize the voice, just like Jesus said, his sheep. He said they'd be able to recognize the voice of a stranger. Recognize the voice of a stranger. Recognize that voice of accusation. Recognize that voice of condemnation. Recognize that voice and recognize that's not your God talking to you. That's the devil. And he's a liar. So anything he says is just the opposite of what God is saying. Which is exciting because, you know, whenever the devil speaks up and says stuff, I go, glory to God. Man, now the devil's just helped convince me even more that what God's will is. Because he just attacked it. He just said that's not God's will. Or he just said or tried to do some things that are the complete opposite to lead me to believe that God's will is the complete opposite. But I know better. I know better because God has taught me. His word is teaching us. Glory to God. Somebody say, I got help. I got the Holy Spirit. That's right. The Holy Spirit. And we've been in a series now on the Holy Spirit for several weeks. I think today will be probably the final chapter in this series. And I want to look at one of the most obvious things about the Holy Spirit, and yet probably one of the most overlooked characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And that is that the Holy Spirit is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. It's very obvious. Sometimes it's something can be so obvious, so right there, you know, we're saying Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, that we're missing it. We're not even really seeing it because it's just right there in front of us, you know. But that is what he is. He is holy. Out of all the things the Holy Spirit could be named, he is referred to more as the Holy Spirit than anything else. He is holy. What does that mean? What does that word holy mean? It means sacred, considered worthy of spiritual respect or devotion or inspiring awe. It means set apart, exalted, magnificent. He's the magnificent spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's the set apart, exalted spirit. He's set apart. Superb, grand, gorgeous. He must be something to look at. Just amazing. The Holy Spirit. He is all these things. That word holy, it means that which cannot be transgressed or violated. You can't transgress the Holy Spirit. You can't violate the Holy Spirit. That word holy means given to extreme purity, cleanliness, spotlessness. So the Holy Spirit, He is extremely pure, extremely clean, spotless. Now that sometimes is a little difficult to wrap your head around it. That's why you got to open your heart to it and get revelation from God. Because everything in this world that we come in contact with is spotted. Everything that we contact in this world is spotted. But He is spotless. Extremely pure. He is exalted, magnificent, superb, grand. And that which cannot be transgressed or violated. And I'm telling you, God is three persons in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And though they are one, they are different in personality, and they're different in some ways. And we see how the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus, how they are very extremely protective of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says, Jesus says over in Mark chapter 3, in verse 28. Assuredly I say to you, now the people that Jesus is addressing here are the religious people, the Pharisees, and they just accused Jesus of being able to cast out demons because he's the ruler of the demons. That's why he can cast out demons, because he's a devil himself. That's why he's got authority over these devils. Listen to him, because he's a devil. So Jesus says some things about that, and then he makes this statement. Verse 28, assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men. That's an awesome thing. All sins will be forgiven the sons of men. And whatever blasphemies they may utter, God will overlook the blasphemies that people utter, all of them. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. So they accused Jesus of having an unclean spirit. That's why he was able to have authority over demons, they said. And here, notice the protectiveness of Jesus. And of course, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the Father and Jesus, we see here from these words that they are extremely protective of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Let's go back here to verse 8. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, so he's referring to himself. He always referred to himself as the Son of Man. He who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now think about this. Jesus is showing a difference here between him and the Holy Spirit. It's almost like Jesus is saying, now, whatever you do to me, I could take it. I can get over it. And you can be forgiven. Whatever kind of thing you say about me, curse me, use my name as a curse word, I'll forgive you for it. But if you do that to the Holy Spirit, forgiveness isn't going to come as easy. Do you see how he makes a difference between him and the Holy Spirit? Why? Well, holy, one of the definitions is that which cannot be transgressed or violated. You can transgress against me, Jesus is saying. You can transgress against anybody or anything, it'll be forgiven, but you can't transgress or violate the Holy Spirit because he is holy. He is holy. And notice that word blaspheme. Blaspheme. The word blaspheme means to speak evil of, to slander, to speak insultingly or harshly to or about, to treat in a harmful or offensive way. You know, this reminds me some years back when we had our youth group. We were out having a camp out. And as we were praying, I came up with a name for the youth group. And it was called the Glory Guard. I got that while I was praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And I got those words, the Glory Guard. And I stood up, I said, guys, I said, I got a name of our youth group. It's the Glory Guard. And one of the things we liked to do back then was put camouflage on and go out here in the woods, and we would go on paintball missions, you know, with our paintball guns. And we would, you know, spiritualize a good game of paintball, you know. And it was a lot of fun. So, but we were, you know, it was like a military type of thing. You know, the guys would come, we'd have them do jumping jacks, run down Spiegel Lane, you know, do push-ups and, you know, do all kinds of things like that. And, you know, just get out there like a drill sergeant and just put them through it, you know. And then go out there and fight the good fight with paintballs. And so, but we called it the Glory Guard. And when I got that, you know, it was such a revelation, and revelation continued to come from it as I thought about this name that God had given. That, you know, when you think of God, you think of him being the one doing the guarding. That he's the one that guards you and I. And that's true, isn't it? He is a shield all about us, the Bible tells us. He is our rear guard. He protects us. He is our armor of protection in this world. He is our faith that quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. God is our protection. He is our guard. And yet, here he's saying that we're the Glory Guard. That we are to guard his glory. What's the glory? That is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty God. It is the manifested presence of God, the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, his beauty, his magnificence coming into manifestation. And God wants to manifest in this world. But he cannot be violated. He cannot be transgressed against. He cannot be treated as common. He can't be treated as something unclean. Because he is purity. He is cleanliness. He is the spotless Spirit of God. And so he is not going to be mixed with dirty things, unclean things, degrading things, sinful things. He's not going to have any part of that. In fact, when Jesus went to the cross, you know, the Father was with Jesus throughout his whole life here on the earth through the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And the Father communicated to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus went to the cross and became sin for you and I, he cried out from that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? How many believe Jesus knew what he was talking about? Oh, yeah. Why have you forsaken me? What does that mean? He's gone. The Spirit of God left him. Why? Because he who knew no sin had just become sin, so that you could become the righteousness of God in him. He became sin and the Holy Spirit was gone. He was forsaken of God and afflicted, Isaiah said. The Holy Spirit could not stay with Jesus when he became sin. Now thank God through what Jesus did, our sinfulness, our sins, the very sin nature of the devil that was in us, as in all of mankind, was removed from us, removed out of our spirit. When we were born again, when we believed on Jesus and what he did for us. And we were made clean. We were made holy. Our spirits became spotless. Hallelujah. We became the very righteousness of God within, in our spirit. And now the Spirit of God is able to live in that place called the human heart. He's able to live in you and I. Aren't you glad God can live in you? Think about the Holy Spirit here. He can't have anything to do with sin. He can't be a part of any of that. And yet he could be inside you. Man, that's a testimony of the powerful work of redemption that Jesus wrought at the cross 2,000 years ago for you and I. What he did for us was a thorough work. That's how clean we are. Man, that's how holy we are. That's how set apart we are from the devil and from sin in the inner man. Praise God. We need to judge ourselves according to the inner man, not according to the outer man. The outer man is still catching up to what God has done to the inner man. We're still getting our minds renewed. Isn't that right? We're still getting our minds renewed through the Word of God. We're learning to sanctify our flesh, bring our bodies into subjection to God. And I believe here when Jesus says, he who speaks against the Holy Spirit, he who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, does not have forgiveness. He's not talking about somebody doing something in the flesh. He's not talking about somebody that in the heat of the moment, in the flesh, in the passions of sin, rises up and says something evil against the Holy Spirit. Somebody's under the influence. They went out, had too many drinks or something. Shouldn't be drinking at all, but they went ahead, had a drink or something, you know, just in rebellion, and said some things to God. Blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Woke up the next day and thought, what in the world did I just do? Oh, no, I don't have forgiveness now. No. Jesus was talking to a group of religious people whose hearts were evil. They weren't just speaking off the top of their head in the flesh. They hated him. They disliked him in every way from the heart. And they were blaspheming from the heart. I mean, these guys, even after Jesus rose from the dead, and the soldiers came in and said, there was an angel out there at the tomb. And the angel just looked at us and we all just froze. And he rolled the stone away. These religious people were so hard-hearted, man. They were so callous, so sinful. They told the guard, said, hey, listen, don't worry about it. We'll give you a little money. And just tell him that his disciples came and stole his body away. We'll cover you. Now, you would think these religious leaders at that point would think, man, we're in trouble. We really did crucify the Son of God. You know, I mean, these soldiers came and they just saw an angel. Instead, they just act like it didn't happen. I mean, these guys' hearts were messed up. And so it's that blaspheming from the heart. It's not just doing something in the flesh. It's doing so. I remember there was a kid one time. He was a young little guy. He was mad. He was frustrated. And he just started cursing God. Started cursing God. Well, you know, he didn't realize what he was doing. It was just totally in the flesh. Because just a short while after that, he was all repentant and you know, a totally different kid, you know. It was just an outburst of wrath in the flesh. So we need to understand that. There's sins of the heart, and then there's sins of the flesh. Now, just because there's sins of the flesh, that doesn't just mean that, well, they're not important. It doesn't matter. God understands. We all have flesh. We're all going to sin. That's not the attitude to have. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit who is with us, he doesn't want anything to do with sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back here to verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, don't go to bed angry at night. Get that right. I'm mad and I'm tired. Okay, well, let's go to bed happy. Let's go to bed with heavenly thoughts. And that might mean you need to go for a walk. That means you need to go somewhere to get a hold of that peace. But do what you got to do. Don't go to bed angry. It's not worth it. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Don't give any opportunities to the devil. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands. It's kind of crazy that he has to write that to Christians. This is written to Christians, you know. Don't steal anymore. But rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So don't say nasty things. Don't allow yourself to enter into that. And again, if you have to go for a walk, go for a walk. But don't say a bunch of things that just tear people down. Don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Only let what imparts grace to the hearer come out of your mouth. Only say things that build people up. And if your faith just isn't there to build them up right now, say, I can't talk right now. And go for a walk. Go have an ice cream or something, you know. Do something, make yourself feel better, right? You got to build yourself up. Don't let any of that corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And he's not done. Flows right into this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, now he's going to tell you everything that grieves the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that's loud quarreling, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. How many people have been forgiven for a lot of stuff? Glory to God. Don't ever forget that. If you're ever struggling with forgiveness, just stop and look at the cross. Close your eyes. Remember communion. Think of the cross. Think of the cross. And see Jesus hanging there on your behalf saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. And when you think about the cross, you'll immediately have grace to forgive. keep thinking about what they did, you're going to struggle. Now, if you knew what they did, you're going to struggle. But if you remind yourself of what he did, if you'll immediately bring yourself to the cross, it's easy to forgive. It's even easy to forgive yourself if you just think of the cross and how much he loves you and he has forgiven you. Amen? He paid an awesome price for you to be forgiven. But notice here that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Now that word grieve means to make sad or sorrowful. Again, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, that he is holy. He is holy. He is set apart. He's extremely pure. He's worthy of respect and devotion, inspiring awe. It says here that he can be grieved, to make sad or sorrowful, to make one uneasy, to distress. Now, when we're talking about sad or sorrowful, we're talking about letting them down. You can let the Holy Spirit down, where he is extremely saddened and sorrowful. Sad and sorrowful in an atmosphere of this kind of behavior right here. Loud quarreling, bitterness, anger. I hate you! That wounds the Holy Spirit. That makes him extremely sad. It lets him down. He becomes disappointed, even distressed. Now it's kind of interesting, you know, thinking God, you know, sad and sorrowful and distressed, and but yet, why else would Jesus be saying, now you can mess with me, you can even talk about the Father, but you don't mess with the Holy Spirit? Why? He's the heart of God. And the heart of God is tender. Very, very tender, very sensitive, very delicate. Now, this is amazing because he happens to be the most powerful being anywhere. He's God. He created everything. As far as military power goes, he's nuclear and beyond. He is beyond really words. It's difficult to express, obviously, how massive, how powerful of a being he is. And yet, he is so tender that he is easily saddened, grieved, wounded. He is fragile. His heart, the heart of God. Remember, heart and spirit are used interchangeably in the scriptures when talking about the human heart or the human spirit. Well, we can do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He's God's heart, and God's heart can be broken. God's heart can be hurt, easily moved to sympathy and compassion. I mean, he sees people saying things and doing things that are hurtful. And the sympathy that the heart of God will feel for people is overwhelming. It's very, very deep. We need to understand this about the heart of God. We need to understand this about the Spirit of God. And, you know, in thinking about this, meditating on these things, I thought about what the Word of God says over in 1 Peter. Why don't we go there? 1 Peter chapter 3. And it says here in verse 7, I'd like to read the first few verses. about wives being submissive to their husbands and things like that, but for time's sake, unfortunately, I can't get to that. I'm sorry, honey. So we'll talk about wives being submitted to their husbands next week. But verse 7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, dwell with your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. But notice that there, he says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. Understand that the wife is to be considered the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel. Now, a lot of religions throughout the world have interpreted that into meaning the inferior vessel, the lesser vessel. And so therefore, women need to take a lower place below man because she's lower. She's lesser. She's inferior to man. She's the weaker vessel. But I don't believe that's what the Word of God is saying at all about women. Women can be very strong, very powerful in a lot of ways. But they're weaker in the sense that they are more delicate. They're to be viewed as something fragile, not frail and brittle, but something that is fragile, tender, to be treated with respect and reverence, to be honored. What does the word honor mean? Esteemed. Esteemed, looked up to, cherished. And so when we're talking about a weaker vessel, we can liken it to some things in the natural, like precious china. You know, we have a china cabinet in our dining room. The dining room is not where the kids set up their Legos, but it is a set apart area. And there's precious plates and cups that are very delicate, and they're on display in a cabinet that is closed. It's got glass doors, glass windows, and it's on display because it's beautiful, gorgeous. It's set apart. It's not common. It's not the dishware that we use every day. I mean, we've got plates and dishes that have scratches all in it and everything else because, you know, many times instead of taking out a cutting board, someone will take out a knife and just cut something on the plate, scratch the thing up and everything else, you know. Well, you get one little scratch on this precious china, you know. Oh, man, that's not good. You know, that's a bigger deal, isn't it? We got plates, but those plates are a bigger deal. Well, what are they? They're weaker vessels. They're weaker vessels. That's what he's saying about the woman, that she's not lesser. He's not saying weaker is lesser. Weaker is inferior. The woman is no more inferior and lesser to the man than the Holy Spirit is to God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit, He is the weaker vessel of the Godhead. But He ain't lesser. I said He ain't lesser. He isn't less powerful. He isn't less wise. He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Come on, somebody. He is wisdom. He is power. He's the one God spoke. And boom, things started to be created. Things started to happen. But He is the heart of God, and he has such a big heart. I can't even say he has a big heart. He is the heart of God. He is the big heart of God, which means what? He is easily moved with sympathy and compassion for people. He cares and loves life so deeply that it hurts him to see people hurting one another. People saying hurtful things. Even hurtful things to him. Speaking things about him. And the Father and the Son are very protective of their heart. They're very protective of the Spirit of God. He is holy. He is set apart. You don't mess with him. You don't mess with the Holy Spirit. He's tender. He's gentle. And you got to watch how you live around him. If you want his fellowship, then you've got to walk holy, even as he is holy. We have to learn what pleases him, what he likes. And we want to give place to him, not give place to the devil. We gotta be tender. Now, he lives in us. Thank God he'll never leave us or forsake. Thank God we're born again. But if we're going to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, all this bitterness, angry, ugliness, that's got to go. Because he can't be around that. He can't be in manifestation around that. Why? He's too tender. It grieves him too much. You know, have you ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman? You know, she was a tremendous evangelist back in the 50s. And God used her in some amazing, in the 60s. And God did some amazing things through that. I mean, major miracles. And she would come out on that stage in a flowing dress. And, you know, her personality was a little strange, a little peculiar, you know, some might think. But she had an understanding about the Holy Spirit and how tender he is and how loving he is. That there were times when she would plead with people that were being irreverent in her meetings, and she would say, please don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Please don't grieve the Holy Spirit. She understood that irreverence for him could grieve him and thus keep him from being able to do the kind of things he wants to do in people's lives. He could be chased away. Remember, he came upon Jesus as a dove, didn't he? I mean, a dove is a very delicate bird. When you think of a dove, I mean, it just is a very delicate bird. And the Holy Spirit is likened to a dove. He could be grieved. He could be made to fly away. I know there was a meeting going on and people were praising and worshiping God. And then all of a sudden some people just began to do some irreverent things in this meeting. Just started making noises that I guess they thought it was praise and worship, but it was just making just a clanging noise. And the Spirit of God had come upon a prophet of God who was ministering. And man, as soon as they started making that noise, the Holy Spirit just lifted. The anointing of God just lifted out of that place. And he described it, the prophet described it as, he said, it was like a bird that was on my shoulder. And he said, as soon as those people started doing that, it just flew away. Just flew away. You think about a bird. If there's a bird here, you can startle that bird pretty easily, can't you? Right? I mean, you walk up to a bird and go, hey, 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 hey. I mean, that bird's gone. Isn't that right? I mean, think about how you got to approach a bird, you know, if you're trying to catch a bird. You know, you try to catch a bird. The seagulls on the beach. You know, the kids try to get the bird. They don't even get near them. They don't even get near the seagulls. Don't even get near them. Squoo, seagulls are gone. Birds don't mess around, man. You got to walk like, you gotta be like a ninja. If you're going to catch the bird, you're gonna have to walk like a ninja. You're gonna be like invisible, because they're gonna see you coming, hoo hoo hoo, and they're gonna take off, right? How'd you catch a bird? Well, we want the Holy Spirit, who's like a bird, we want him to be able to come in, into this sanctuary and be at rest and be at peace. And listen, we want him to know this is a safe place for you, Holy Spirit. Because we're not going to have a bunch of backbiting and jealousy and hatred and bitterness and a lot of pretense going on in this place. People pretending to love God and being full of hypocrisy. See, we're not of that sort. We're not going to have that here because we want him here, don't we? We don't want to grieve him. We don't want to drive him out. We want him to be able to come and say, this is a safe place. I can come into this place and I can manifest in this place and people are going to receive in this place and it's going to be good. Hallelujah. And there's going to be no harmful side effects to the Holy Spirit. See, we got to start thinking like that. We need to guard and protect the heart of God. I said, we need to guard and protect the heart of God. You go back to the Old Testament, and when God told Moses to build that ark and to put the Ten Commandments in it, he said to put a lid on it and call it the mercy seat. And he said, you put this mercy seat lid over this thing. And then he said, I want you to make two angels out of pure gold, hammered gold, and I want you to put them on top of the on top of that cover, on top of that ark, which is represented of the presence of God, the glory of God, because that was the place where God was going to meet with Moses and the high priest. And he's going to speak from that place. So that was the place where the Holy Spirit was to abide. The glory of God. God was to be in manifestation in that place. And he said, you hammer these two angels out of gold and you put them facing each other with their wings touching each other, looking down at the ark. So what do we have? We've got these two angels looking down, guarding, protecting the ark, which represents the presence of the Holy Spirit, the glory of God. He said, you set those angels that they protect that, they guard that. God is very protective of the Holy Spirit. You and I, if we want to see him in more manifestation and demonstration in our life, we have to become more protective of him. In our personal lives, we want him in our home. We want to have fellowship with him. And he's so merciful. He's so tender. Come on. All we got to do is have confidence in the blood of Jesus. As soon as we repent and humble ourselves before God, man, that's his language right there. He's right there. Come on. He comes right in. He comes right in. We want to keep him. Bible tells us that when Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit came upon him and remained upon him. I love that. The Spirit came upon him and remained upon him. What do you mean? He never grieved the Holy Spirit. Jesus never sinned. He never did anything to drive the Holy Spirit away. The Spirit of God was able to remain on him. We've all had the Holy Spirit come upon us. How many want him to remain on you? Wouldn't you like to walk in such a way that he's safe in your presence? He is safe in your presence when you walk into evil places, when you walk into sinful places, the Holy Spirit, he's safe with you. Now, this is a different way of thinking, isn't it? We're always thinking, oh, we need to be, you know, the Holy Spirit, we're safe with him. Yes! But he needs to be safe with us. We need to protect him. He needs to know, Holy Spirit, you just stay upon me. Jesus walked into some pretty wicked, evil places, man, but the Holy Spirit remained upon him because Jesus was a safe place for the Holy Spirit. Jesus was a safe place for the Holy Spirit. I want to be a safe place for the Holy Spirit. Come on. Do you want to be a safe place? We need to cherish the heart of God. Love, honor him, worship him. His heart is so tender. I'm telling you, when you worship him, when you tell him how much you love him, it touches him deeply. I'm telling you, we've been made so callous in this society today. People's hearts are so hard. People don't even realize how hard their hearts are, how callous they are. You watch the news and you hear about a killing, you hear about this thing, and nobody gets grieved. And now in the weather. You know, we could go from somebody just got murdered, these people just got killed, their house burned down, but in the weather, it is a sunny day tomorrow for you to go to the park. And we can just move right from that to this, no problem. Nothing, no feeling of being grieved, hurt, wounded. And then people rise up, I've been hurt one too many times. I'm not going to be hurt ever again. And they harden their heart like a brick. And they walk around insensitive and dull to life. And they're just mean. They can become mean. But if we'll stay with the Holy Spirit and follow him, he'll help tenderize us. Tenderize. And we become more and more sensitive that we are easily moved to tears. Easily moved with compassion. Easily moved into praying for people. Easily moved into joy. Easily moved into those happy feelings. Glory to God. Joy and happiness. Just our hearts are tender. Our hearts are easily moved by God, by life, because we're tenderizing it, tenderizing our heart, letting God tenderize our hearts. Amen? Amen. He's tender, man. If we want more of him, we got to become more tender. So let's stand on our feet. Let's pray this prayer to the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father. Yes, yeah, say it with me. Heavenly Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. What an amazing gift you have given me. You have given me your very heart. Your heart is tender. It's delicate. Easily wounded. Hurt. Made sad. Father, forgive me. For any time I have ever grieved the Holy Spirit. Help me now to remember these things that you taught me today. Help me to be sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. That I would be sensitive to him and tender towards him so that he can move in my life and not be grieved, not be hindered by anything. Thank you, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Has washed away all my sin. Made me right in your sight. Help me to walk in that righteousness. I thank you, God, for loving me. Being patient with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Come on. Make the heart of God glad. He's easily moved. He's easily moved by your praises. Lift him up. He can be let down, but he can be lifted up. He can be cheered up. He can be encouraged. Oh, he's got such a tender heart. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet presence of God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.